Will you pray with me? O Word of Life, God of recreation, you've given us life. We are here breathing. What a wonderful message. That the breath of heaven would breathe over our souls. Father, I simply pray that this Christmas, as we already prayed, I ask that as we look at the manger scene, that we will behold the Lamb, the gift of salvation. Father, would you speak? Would you call us and that we would hear your voice and follow? We come to your word. This is not my own, it is yours. And as we come every Sunday, we anticipate that you will speak. We open our hearts and our minds, our wills, to listen to your living word. Be active in our souls. Have your way in us, Lord. We love you and we don't have the words. The wonder of serving you is worship. And you speak, Lord. We are your servants. Let us hear your word. For each heart this morning, I pray, by your Spirit, breathe over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you've turned to the Gospel of John yet, but I invite you to turn there. John chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, it's in the Pew Bible on page 1053. And what a wonderful thing for us over these weeks of Advent to look at these first 18 verses of John's Gospel. There is so much jam-packed in here, we could preach on it for a year, I'm sure. Some have written whole books on these 18 verses. This morning, we're only looking at verse 10 to 13, but I want to read from verse 1 to 14. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The message of Christmas begins with God, does not begin with us. In the beginning, God created humanity. And here in these verses, the second thing God does is he reveals himself to that very creation, to humanity. Why? So that we can be redeemed. The Word became flesh. Verse 14 is where we'll begin next Sunday. And it is all about God entering our world, the revelation of God. We know that because look at verse 18. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side. So whoever this only God is in John's gospel, it is not the Father. It is the God who is at the Father's side, which is amazing. That's why John's gospel begins twice in verse 1 and 2, that the Word is at the Father's side. The Word was with God in verse 1, and he was in the beginning with God. This only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And this is really the heart of our verses today. It is two things: revelation and response. God reveals himself to his creation, and he calls those who are his sheep to hear his voice, to believe, to respond, and to follow him. It's the message of Christmas. This is why John gave his revelation. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. What is that? It is the revelation of God. A light that is shining, illuminating, bringing understanding. And the darkness has not overcome it. Many translations put has not comprehended it or understood it. And that kind of makes sense. I think that's a good way to translate it, because later he's going to say the world did not know him. This light is shining. It is revelation. And yet it is not understood. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness is not overcome it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. God initiated revelation. God sent John. And in a few verses, John chapter 3, for God so loved that he sent, he gave, he sent his son. The rest of John's gospel is the sending of Jesus. But God sent John first as a intentional initiation of revelation that we would know. Look at, he says he came as a witness, to bear witness about the light in verse 7. Again, the exact same thing in verse 8. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. Two times in these verses, John is a witness. Christmas begins with God as the creator who has come to recreate and redeem his people. John the Baptist specifically came to be a witness to the light. Why? Can you see it in verse 7? Twice on both sides he says he was a witness so that all might believe, that they might respond to this knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John's purpose in this prologue, verse 1 to 18, is the revelation of God himself, this very God, the only God in verse 18, who has made him known. Why? So that you will have life. I preached at a funeral yesterday. In Banff, 96-year-old man. And in the presence of death, There is no word so powerful as life. John's testimony as John the Baptist is absolutely critical. In fact, in this first chapter we saw 2 weeks ago, he is declaring that Jesus is the true light, that he is not the light. But by the time you get to verse 29 in the same chapter, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming. Look what he says. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Can you imagine? His speakers have just heard him say, "In the beginning was the Word, this Lamb of God, who is the very God at the Father's side." This God of the prologue of John 1 is the sacrificial lamb. Why? To redeem the very people he created. This is the message of Christmas. Revelation, so that we could respond, so that we could know him, so that, verse 7 says, all might believe. Now, what is amazing in verse 9 is that he says it gives light to everyone. This light that is shining gives light to everyone. And then immediately in verse 10, there are those who seem to not have the light. Do you see what he says? It keeps coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world, four times he mentions the world. I think we're intended to take these two verses together. And the best understanding of the world here is its use of describing humankind, mankind themselves. The world did not know him. But you just said in verse 9 that this gives light to everyone. So how is it that there are those who are in the world who do not know him? I think the message is very clear. It's like Romans chapter 1. In verse 19, just listen, "For what could be known about God was plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, for they are without excuse, for although they knew God," they could have known God, "his attributes were revealed, he has shown it to them," in verse 19, "they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and in their foolish hearts they were darkened." Not surprising that he uses the picture of a dark heart. One commentary said, "There's enough light that you're without excuse." That's what Romans 1 says. What could be known about God was made plain to them. The very God of the universe, that's why John 1 is so clear that Jesus is co-creator. It was made plain to them that they might know him. They had enough light to be held accountable to God, but not enough light to save them. Why? Because they rejected the very one who could save them. Their hearts were hardened. And John is saying the exact same thing in verse 9 and 10. This true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world. And the world was made through him. He was in the world in the evidence of what he made. That's what verse 10 is declaring to us. And yet the world did not know him. And then John gets really specific in verse 11. He came to his own people, to the Jewish people, Christmas time. The message of the angels. "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David." He came to his people in the city of David. And he was rejected. You see it in verse 11? They did not receive him. And why? It seems so obvious to the heart that is his to say, why would you not receive him? John goes on to tell us that there is this, they don't know him and they didn't receive him, but these who are his people, they knew what Jesus claimed. They knew what he was claiming to be, and all the way through John's gospel, they rejected it. He tells us in John chapter 3, verse 19, just a page, just turn the page over. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Light reveals darkness. Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. These dark works that are exposed by the life are being transformed, and God is producing work in this life. In the perfect brilliance of God, sin is revealed. O Lamb of God, who takes away my sin. When you come to the light, your sin is revealed. My sin is revealed. And for the heart that says, I will not come to the light, I do not need the Lamb of God. The message of our world in humanism, you are all basically good. But the gospel doesn't start there. The gospel begins with the humble reality that we are all basically bad. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They did not receive him. It is the idea of a heart that says, I don't need a Lamb of God. I don't need a Savior. And the message of Christmas is that he has come, that our works might be transformed and that we would have life. John says the very same thing in chapter 5. If you go to chapter 5 in verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures. These are the religious leaders. And you think that by them, in them, you have eternal life. Just by reading the Bible, maybe you have an idea of the Trinity that somehow it's Father, Son, and Holy Bible. And that I just read the Bible and do my daily bread and have my devotions in. And that means I'm in. Jesus is challenging the Pharisees and the religious leaders who knew the Bible better. They memorized the entire book of Isaiah. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness of me. What is that? That is revelation. And yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. God sent John as a witness to bear witness to the light so that all would believe in him. Our hearts are heavy for those in our families, those we know at Christmas that don't come to the light. The negative part of these verses is really hard. In verse 9 and 10, you see that the emphasis is that God is initiating it. God is coming into the world. He is in the world. He's revealing himself in the world. In verse 11, he came to his own. And even though God is initiating it, there is this revelation of who he is that is rejected. Romans 10 says, all day long I held up my hands to a stubborn, obstinate people. But the wonder of Romans 10 is that in that wonderful chapter it says, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is beautiful in these verses in John 1 is that it's a response to Jesus himself. The Pharisees in chapter 5 think that it's in the scriptures, even though the scriptures are bearing testimony of Jesus, and they refuse to come to him. The danger is that we are in the church and we think the same way. Look what it says in verse 11. They did not know him. In verse 10, they did not receive him. It was not that they didn't receive religion. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were more religious than likely any today. It's the lie of Satan that you can be religious and you will be with God forever in eternal life. No, it's what do you do with Jesus? And then the wonderful verse in verse 12, but even though there was revelation and he was rejected in verse 12, but to all who received him. You know, sometimes we think it's this list of all these doctrines you got to check off. I got to believe who Jesus is. I got to believe what he did. I have to understand all this doctrine. But verse 12 is not just knowing about him. It is actually him. It's actually Christ receiving him. The Lamb of God who is your sacrifice. A revelation and then a response that receives him. The word actually means to take hold of, to embrace, to accept, to trust. It means the same idea. He explains it further in verse 12, that you receive him to those who receive him, who believed on his name. See, the description of those who were his own is they didn't even believe who he was. But to believe, to truly believe, is to embrace, to take hold of him as our only salvation. God initiates this relationship with us by revelation and then calls for a response. Only those who receive Jesus are his children. Do you see it in verse 12? To those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gives the right. Not everyone is a child of God. The verses that were read for us in 1 John chapter 3 are a very clear description by the Apostle John. Jesus himself said the very same thing to the Pharisees in John 8. You are of your father, the devil. And you know why he says that? He actually said, I tell you the truth, but you do not believe me. We need to correct this false idea that, well, if you're a human being, then you are a child of God. No, you are not. Every single human being is made in the image of God. Every human being has a soul that will be alive for eternity, that will spend eternity either with God or away from God. And what does Jesus say? Depart from me, I never knew you. I've heard people say, well, we're all human beings. God is all of our Father. No, he is not. But the wonderful message of Christmas is verse 12. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God gives the right to be his child. It's not a human right. It is God's redemptive work that he initiates by sending his son. It's only those who receive him, who take hold of this revelation of the person of Jesus. Have you received him? You knew I was going to ask you that question, didn't you? With all my heart, I pray that God breathes life into those who will hear this message at the city hall when I declare this wonderful gift of Jesus, that to all who receive, he gave the right to become children of God. What is amazing is Jesus is born as a child physically in our world so that we can be born spiritually as children of God. And verse 13 is absolutely clear. It's not our doing. It's the very work of God. He gives us the right to become his children who were born. And right here in John chapter 1, this message that John is declaring about Jesus is the very message that Jesus declares in John chapter 3. You must be born again. He says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." He's explaining what born of water is. You are physically alive. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will. You hear its sound, but you know not where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." See, in the prologue, in these first 18 verses, it is the revelation of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, God, the very God, the only God at the Father's side, who is our salvation. And as we receive him, we become children of God, who were born, verse 13, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. For the people of God, he came to his own people, to the Jewish people. They were not born into salvation. Their heritage of a Jew, as a Jew, was not their salvation. And regardless of how your end time schematic is, Romans 9 says that though the sons of Israel are like the sands of the shore, it is only the remnant that will be saved. You are not born into the right Christian family. You do not have a Christian posterity because of who you are. It is not by human will or efforts of your flesh. He says, not by blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Not if I'm just going to live a good life and God will put me on a balance. And if I balance out more good than bad, it's not by our flesh. What the law was powerless to do, weak as it was in the flesh, God did. And then he says, nor of the will of man. It's not just depending on my will. We give too much emphasis to our own will, as if somehow we could save ourselves. If we are independent of God, as if somehow we could impress God with all that we do. No, we are saved by grace and we are born of God alone. It is a gift that is given to us that we must receive in order to become children of God. We are saved by grace. It's given to us before we could respond to it. In Romans 5, it is very clear, verse 6, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So not only were we helpless, we were ungodly. And then two verses later, but God shows his love for us in this while we are still sinners. We are still sinners. Christ died for us. And then two verses later, for while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Our salvation is initiated by God. Just like Ephesians 2, we were dead. And God made us alive. God acted first. No matter what your theological position is, if you are a Christian, if you are evangelical, it is God who reached us first. We only have salvation through Jesus. Acts 4:12, there is no other name by which men shall be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And probably more telling, with the same apostle who wrote the Gospel of John, the apostle John wrote in 1 John 5, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So come to the light. Receive. To whoever received, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. He offers the gift of salvation through Jesus, the Lamb of God. This is John's entire message in this gospel. In the very end, he writes in chapter 20, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, in the book of John. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. True light that gives light to everyone is coming in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the gift of Christmas. Will you receive it? Let's pray. Father, for many of our hearts here this morning, we know this truth, and it is wonderful. We know that we could never measure up to all that it would be to impress you, that we could never earn for ourselves a salvation that is so great a salvation, that we could become children of God. Those who are children of the flesh, it is a miracle. And where we know it, I pray that we would be like the apostle, like the John the Baptist, a witness to the light so that all will believe. Father, I pray that in every heart that is in this room tonight, today, that God, you would reveal this living hope and new life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.